my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us his word. I believe God has given us this book. Make it personal so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Amen, amen, amen. I was truly blessed with the women's conference. Amen. I had a Class A ticket. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Just take them down just a little bit. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, when you get there, say amen. What a mighty God we serve. And I'm telling you, the atmosphere shifted in their conference. Tyrone spoke to the atmosphere, and he said, shift now, and it shifted. You tell me words don't have power. Ask Satan, he'll tell you. Jesus said, it's written. Satan said, okay, I got it. Matthew chapter 16, I want you to look at verse number 24. We start there. Amen. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if any man will come after me, well, you see the word any man, put your name there. I know you're not a man, but just put your name there anyway. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his word. Amen. This is part two of a message that I started last week called The Path of Righteousness. The Path of Righteousness. And when we look at the series of scriptures here, we see a list of ingredients that Jesus not only shares with us, but we are also required to follow these ingredients. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I mean, if we want to continue to live in victory in this lifetime, if we want to continue to have eternal life with Christ Jesus, we must follow the ingredients that Jesus Christ has set for us here in this series of scripture. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Because in the series of scripture, Jesus is talking about life. Okay, he is talking about life in this world, and he is also talking about eternal life. Because we know the Bible tells us in the book of John, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So we see Jesus here, he's talking to the disciples. And he's telling them in so many words, and I believe that he's talking to us today as well. And although he's talking to the disciples here, I believe he is telling us today that if we want to continue to live in this world, in the victory that he achieved for us through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection, we must follow the ingredients that he has set out for us. Are y'all still with me? If we want to continue, I'm not talking about living in victory for one day. I'm talking about daily, every day. If we want to continue, we must follow or apply the ingredients that he just told us about to our life. If we do not do it, we can forget it. Are y'all still with me? Amen. What he said here, he says, once again, in the series of scripture, he says, if any man will come after me, let him do what? I didn't hear y'all this morning. He said, let him deny himself. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that if you're coming after me, you have to get yourself out of the way. You have to get yourself out of the way. He said, if any man will come to me, let him get himself out of the way. He said, let him take up his cross. In other words, surrender everything to him. And then he says, then follow me. Ingredients. Number one, deny self. Number two, surrender all to Jesus. You know, we sing a song sometimes, I surrender all. Do we really? I'm not talking about some, I'm talking about all. Are y'all still with me? He says, deny self, get self out of the way. And listen, the only way that we can surrender all to Jesus is that we must deny self. If we do not deny self, if we do not get self out of the way, there is no way we're going to surrender all to Jesus. Because self is always trying to control. Y'all still with me? And once we deny self by surrendering all, then Jesus say, you can follow me. Are y'all still with me? Until that happens, we can't do it. Look at verse number 25. Jesus says, for whosoever, put your name there where it say whosoever. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. This is what Jesus is saying. For whosoever does not deny self is going to lose his life. Are y'all still with me? For whosoever does not deny, it doesn't matter what a person's rank is, what the title is, how long they've been saved. They could be apostle times 15. It does not matter. Are y'all still with me? See, in the church, we get wrapped up on titles all the time. Jesus said, whosoever. And how many of you know whosoever means whosoever? That includes Pastor Ron, too. He said, whosoever does not deny self will lose his life. But then he says, but whosoever shall, I know the Bible says whosoever will lose life, but he said, whosoever shall deny self for my sake shall gain life. Not just any old kind of life, but abundant life. Now, this is Jesus talking. It's in red. Are y'all still with me? And then he asks a question. He asks two questions. He says, for what is a man profited? How many know the word profited means gain or benefit? He says, what is a man profited if he should gain the what? The whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, let me just give us the answer to those questions. The first answer is, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? How many of you know the answer is nothing? Well, wait a minute. We still have one more question to answer. And then he said, wait a minute. Or what shall a man gain in exchange for his soul? How many of you know nothing? So I don't know what kind of mathematics you had in school. But one thing that I do know, that nothing plus nothing equals nothing. That means that if I want to gain something that's going to benefit me in my life, the only way that I can do it is that I must follow Jesus. But wait a minute. But the only way I can follow Jesus is that I must get self out of the way, because self does not want to surrender all to Jesus. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. He says, what shall a man, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole what? How many of you know that that's the problem? The world. Instead of people following Jesus, they are following the world's system. They're living like the world. And when they follow the world's system, they end up on the wrong path of life. They're following the wrong system. Instead of following Jesus, they follow the wrong system, the world system. Cheating, lying, stealing, rejecting God, rejecting his word, doing what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it, and trying to take as many people to help them to do it. Y'all still with me? The world's way. And many people are getting off on the wrong path. Amen? Because I mentioned last week, there's only two paths of life. People say, well, Pastor Ron, that's 15, 20 different ways. No. There's only two. There's only two. One path is called the path of righteousness. And the path of righteousness is the path that always leads to victory. See, that's the path that Jesus was on all of his life, the path of righteousness. Are y'all still with me? And last week, I introduced a new word into the English vocabulary. I call it the path of righteousness. Are y'all still with me? Another name for the path of righteousness is the path of defeat or the path of darkness. So there's only two paths. The path of righteousness, which leads to victory. The path of righteousness, which leads to defeat or darkness. Are y'all still with me? Well, Pastor, the question is, how can I determine which path I'm on? Well, let me tell us how we can determine. And I always say us and we because the word is for me also. See, sometimes people who are in pastoral or whatever, they think they're talking to everybody. This is the word for us, all of us. Are you all still with me? The only way that a person will know which path they're on is that they have to know something about the Word of God. Because when we left off last week, we left off in Psalm, the 119th Psalm. And we found out that God's word is a light into my feet, a lamp into my feet and a life into my path. So when I'm on the path of righteousness, it's always lit up. I can see where I'm going. But when I'm on the path of righteousness or defeat, I always end up in darkness. And how many of you know when you're in darkness, you can't see where you're going? I mean, have you ever lost anything and you say, man, let me find this thing, it's dark. Can you turn that light down a little bit more so I can find it? You can't find anything in the darkness. Why? Because you can't see. Christians, listen to me. I'm not just talking about natural darkness. I'm talking about spiritual. See? Are y'all still with me? So if I'm on the right path, it will be lit up with the word. And if I follow the word, I'm going to always know where I am going. Are y'all still with me? But some people, because they think that they know more than Jesus now, they start off on the path of righteousness. And somewhere along the path, they figured, let me see if I can take a shortcut. And they start going to the left or to the right. And what happens? They end up on the path of darkness. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go to the 105th Psalm, the 119th Psalm. I want to show you what I just told you. Amen. Amen. Are y'all still with me this morning? We're talking about victory. Not just on one day, but every day. Not just one day, but every day. Amen. The 119th Psalm. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I'm still excited about the women's conference. Amen. The 119th Psalm. Mm-hmm. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. Look at verse 105. Oh, as a matter of fact, I want to start with verse 101. The Bible says, I have refrained my what feet? Feet don't fail me now. Because how you know if your feet can lead you to the wrong path? King David said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy what? Do y'all see that? That I might do what? Keep what? Don't you know that your feet can lead you away from the word? Because self says, feet, I don't want to go to church today. Take me somewhere else. Are y'all still with me? He said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from judgments, for thou hast taught to me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through my precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Then King David says, thy word is a what? Lamp into my feet. And a what? Light into my what? Path. So if I'm on the right path, I know it because there's some light there. Are y'all still with me? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if I want to avoid the path of darkness, if I want to avoid the path of defeat, I must keep the light on. And God's word is the light. I must keep the light on. And how many of you know that Jesus Christ, when he was living in this world, he always traveled on the path of righteousness. Yes, there were some obstacles in his way. There were some things that was trying to get him to veer to the left and veer to the right. You know, there's one verse in the Bible, in the Gospels, you know, the Bible talks about how, the people wanted to catch Jesus and throw him off the cliff. Because he was teaching the word to so many people, and people were jealous. But the Bible tells us he walked right through them. Study your word, it's in there. I'll tell you where it's at, I just gave you something to study. Then I might just give you a test on it afterwards. Amen. Now I ain't gonna give you no test, amen. If I deny myself and follow Jesus, by surrendering all to him, Christian, listen to this. I will automatically be on the path of righteousness. I do not have to try to figure it out. I do not have to use multiplication or calculus. I do not have to get a yardstick and measure the route. If I deny self by surrendering to God, I will automatically be on the path of righteousness. In other words, Jesus said, then you can follow me. Are you all still with me? See, many people end up on the path of darkness, I've already said it, is because they try to take shortcuts in life. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about someone who don't know Jesus. I'm talking about Christians are always trying to take shortcuts in life. And I'm here to tell you, when it comes to Christianity, there are no shortcuts. There are none. Well, Pastor, why in the world would a Christian, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, why in the world would a Christian try to take shortcuts? Well, let me tell you why. The reason why Christians try to take shortcuts is because of their lack of patience in waiting for Jesus to come back. Just like when Moses went up in the mountain to talk to Jesus, the people say, it's taking too long. It's just taking too long. It's got to be a shorter way. How many of you know me to tell you there are no shorter ways? But if you stay on the straight path, you're going to get there a lot faster than if you go to the left or to the right. Because it's the path of righteousness. But they don't have patience. And the bad thing about it is that the Bible tells us to have patience. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, run the race with what? Patience. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. Don't you know that the race is between the start and the end? All we need to do is just run it with patience. But Christians don't have that. It takes too long. it got to be another way. Jesus said, I am the way. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, let patience have her perfect work. But as I said before, we don't want to let patience do it. We want self to do it. Patience, get out of the way. I got it. That's where a lot of Christians are lost right today. They end up, what James tells us, they end up with a double mind. You remember the little song we used to sing in elementary school? You put your left foot in, you take your left foot out. That's what they're doing. They want to be a Christian on one day, but they don't want to be it on the next day. It's taking Jesus too long. And they end up on the path of darkness. And how many of you know that's exactly where Satan wants Christians to be? Because Satan knows if the Christian end up on the path of darkness, if he's depressed, oppressed, beat up, don't know left from right, don't know where they're going, they can't witness to anybody else. Because they're too busy focusing on themselves. Are y'all still with me? That's why we got to get self out of the way. Jesus said you can't follow me without getting yourself out of the way. Because self is going to always try to be in control. Are y'all still with me? They're too impatient to wait for Jesus. See, Christians, at one time or another, every Christian started off on the right path. Once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were declared righteous. What about the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. No, I didn't say you were righteous. I said you were declared righteous. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You can read it whenever you get ready. Amen. So we were stamped. You know, when you go to the grocery store, you see the chicken, whatever, they got a stamp. I'm not calling you a chicken. Amen, amen, amen. But it does not get to the market unless it gets a stamp of approval. Are you guys still with me? That's a stamp. Boom. You may not be able to see it with your natural eye, but if you're a child of God, you receive that stamp. When you said, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says in Romans, thou shalt be saved. When you made that confession in your heart, not in your mind. See, a lot of people are messed up. The Bible says confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. A lot of people believe in their mind. And they think they're saved, but they're not because they never listen, it says confess with your mouth. It never said believe in your mind. It says confess with your mouth and believe in your what? Heart. That tells me that the heart must be pretty important. So when I did that, I didn't see what happened. I may not have even felt what happened, but the Bible says I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So in other words, I started off on the path of righteousness. But as some people start their Christian journey, along the way, they allow things to cause them to veer to the left or to the right. Why? Because they do not have the patience to wait until Jesus come back. And they try to take a shorter way. How many of you know that there are things that are required of us to be able to stay on the right path? See, people say, well, I can do it. No, you can't. That's self-talking. There are some things that as Christians that we must do, we are required to do to be able to stay on the right path. Well, Pastor, I can do it. No, you can't. You cannot do it by yourself. Well, let me just qualify that with a question. How many people in here or streaming online, how many of you all saved yourself? That's what I thought. Are y'all still with me this morning? So as Christians, there are some things that we are required to do. Well, Pastor, what are these things? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, we must read the word. Number two, we must study the word. Number three, we must meditate in the word. Number four, we must pray according to the word. So that tells me, well, let me say it again. Number one, read the word. Number two, study the word. Number three, meditate in the word. Number four, pray according to the word. Let me just throw another one in there. Number five, hear the word. Because that's how faith comes, by hearing. And as I've said before in the past, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. The Bible never said, when faith comes, you will receive faith. It said it comes by hearing. Because when faith comes, people can reject it. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they rejected it. Are you all still with me? Just like being on the bus stop. The bus is going to come. But whether you're there to receive it or not, you might miss it. Oh, I missed the bus. Yes, you did. Because the bus said it was coming at 10, and you showed up when Seth wanted to. Maybe I can show up at 10:25, and the bus will wait on me. He's not waiting on you. And then, you get it in your car. You'll steal your brother or sister's car, your mother's car, and now you're trying to get there on time, and you're upset with the traffic. Why they driving so slow? Well, listen, they don't care about you. You should have been there when it came. And a lot of Christians are not there when the word comes, and they're missing out on what they need in order to be able to surrender themselves to follow Jesus. And they end up in a path of darkness. And they ask the question, why me, Lord? I believe if I was God, I'd say, why not you? But because we serve a loving God that's more loving than I am, he wouldn't say that. Y'all sit with me this morning? Amen. We must follow the word. We must read, we must study, we must meditate, we must pray according to the word, and we have to hear the word. And we need to assemble together like the word of God tells us to do. You know, COVID-19 separated a lot of people. And you know, people were trying to be safe. I got it. Amen. I got it. There's nothing wrong with that. But what amazes me today, and I know some of you are probably tired of hearing me say this, and you're probably not tired of hearing me say this, because you're probably asking the same question. What amazes me today is that people are everywhere, all over the place. But on Sunday, let me grab my COVID flag. No. Either put that flag in the stove and burn it up. Because if I can hang around all these people in the world who are not wearing masks, why can't I show up on Sunday morning in a church somewhere? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they can't get self out of the way. And listen, not only can they get out of the way, they don't want to. Because they're trying to take a shortcut in life. They're trying to get to heaven on a shortcut. And when Jesus come, they would say, well, no, you took a shortcut. And when he came, because we're on a shortcut, because we're on the path of darkness, listen to this, we did not get back in time to go back with him. Are y'all still with me this morning? We need to stop playing. And we need to get real. Because Jesus is real. And he said, you saw it. He said, if any man gonna come after me, you need to get yourself out of the way. You need to surrender all, and then you can follow me. Until that time, Like this song, it won't work. I must follow the word. Because Christians, listen to this. When I follow the written word, the written word would automatically lead me to the spoken word. When I follow the spoken word would always lead me to the word made flesh. Who is who? Jesus. Always. The word doesn't separate itself. When I get into the written word, it will lead me to the spoken word. In other words, it will lead me to a place where I can also hear the word. And when I hear the word, it will lead me to follow Jesus. See? Because when I follow Jesus, I get the chance to know him better. I get the chance to know more about his wills, his will. I get the chance to know more about his ways. I get the chance to put more trust in him. Why? Because I know him. And then when I find myself in a tough situation, I don't worry about it because I know Jesus is going to deliver me. Why? Because of the relationship I have with him. But if I don't know him, I'm going to get myself in a situation and I'm going to be like, Lord, why you got to put me? Well, you put yourself through it. I put myself through it. Lord, I thought your word said, his word did say it. But see, we only want to know what the word says when it's something in our favor. The Bible said, you know, I can have the desires of my heart. That's not what it said. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and you shall have the desires of your heart. That's some conditions. But how many people that take shortcuts, they don't want no conditions. I want mine for free. No, Jesus died so we could be free. But just because he died don't mean we're automatically free. There's some things that we have to do. Let me say that again because I don't want to confuse that. Pastor said when Jesus died, we're free. That's not what I said. Jesus died so we can be free. The Bible said who the Son sets free. So just because he died, that don't mean I'm free. I have to accept him. If I reject him and Jesus, oh, Jesus, I don't want to be free. I'm going to keep doing it my way. Keep on going. And listen, the longer we stay off of the path of righteousness or the path of victory or the path of light, the longer we're going to continue to walk on the path of darkness. And we're going to get ourselves so deep into that darkness, it's going to be hard to come back to the light. Listen, when I was young, many, many, many years ago. No, that it haven't been that long ago. Amen. Y'all laughing. Amen. Listen, I started going to church at a very young age. I was in high school. And even when I joined the military, was I going to church? I don't even remember. Anyway. But when I got off of the path of righteousness, don't you know I was off that path for like about 25, 30 years. See, sometimes people get off the path, they don't even realize it. The longer we stay off the path, the deeper we get into darkness. That's just the way it is. And sometimes we don't even realize it because it seems like it's so much fun out in the world. Seems like they're just so happy. Things are going so great for them. And then we start to just forget about Jesus. I did. I mean, I was out there. Y'all still with me? See. Just kept going. And next thing you know, I woke up one day about 20 years had gone by. I'm like real Van Wick. I mean, what happened all the time? That's what happened when we get away from the word. Itself. See, although all Christians start off on the same path, eventually people veer off the path, like I did. And the reason for that is because they always say, I, instead of him. People always make it about themselves. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. They are not able to deny themselves to follow Jesus. And once again, they end up trying to take a shortcut. Say go that way, you know. It's a traffic jam, the Christian way. Just go around all of them. Nah. There are no shortcuts. Are y'all still with me this morning? They're led off the path of righteousness, and they end up on the path of darkness. Going right back down the road of darkness that Jesus delivered us from. I mean, why would anybody want to go back? I mean, we saw what happened. Well, the Bible tells us what happened to Lot's wife. God said, don't look back. Just keep going forward. She's curious. Curious. What you curious about? Pastor Janice just told us on Thursday night, he said, God, I got you back. What you looking back for? Because when you look back, you're going to want to go back now. Oh. We're on the wrong path. And like I said, the same thing about it, many Christians don't even realize it. Go to Proverbs 14, the 14th Proverb, the next book over. They didn't realize it. Jesus said, you need to follow me. People start off right, but all of a sudden, they're wrong. The good thing about it is we think we can come back, but sometimes you get so deep, you know, people don't even think about coming back. Because the Bible just tells us that Satan just try to keep you out there. Keep going, you're all right. Once saved, always saved. You're okay. You got saved before, so don't even worry about staring the path. That's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. I'm proving to you, based on the word. Because y'all know I like to back up what I say. If I can't back it up, I'm going to tell you it came from me. I'm not going to tell you it came from the word. Romans chapter 8, verse 88. Because y'all going to be like, the pastor said this. I knew it was. No. If I say it, if it's me, I'm going to say I said it. If it's a word, I'm going to show it to you. And then people can't say, yeah, back it up. I ain't got to worry about it. They make stuff up. Proverbs chapter 14, I want you to look at verse number 12. Are you there yet? Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, there's a way. I like the New Living Translation. It says path. There is a path which seems right unto a man. Y'all see that? It does not say it's right. It says seems right. See, Satan is a deceiver. And he will make us think that we're going right. Oh, you good. You good. The lights, you're just in a shadow. The lights going to come on in a minute. You're just in a shadow. Just keep going. It seems right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of what? Are you sure that word doesn't say life? The end are the ways of death. Look at verse 13. Even in laughter, the heart is what? Sorrowful. Got a smile on their face. They're happy. The heart is hurting. You know, the NIV says, the heart may be aching and rejoicing may end in grief. Are y'all still with me? Verse 13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that merry is heaviness. Rejoicing may end in grief. And then verse 14 says, the who? You know, there's a reason why the word is backslider. I know when, you know, y'all used to listen to these certain songs, or everybody used to try to learn how to do the backslide. Hey, listen, that's not the kind of backslide it's talking about right there. I never could get that thing, man. Like you could. Hey, man, let's go back to church. Come on, let's go back to church. Amen. Hey, listen, hey, you don't want me to call the Calvary, do you? it's all right to laugh in church. You know, people won't you know, don't even start me. Amen. Here we go. Don't even get me started on that one. The backslider in heart. The who? Don't you know the backslider is a person who renounced religion, in this case, Christianity. Look the word up. Look it up. You see a word called apostatize. Look it up. He said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his what? Own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. See. Satan wants us to do that. He wants us to just renounce Christianity and do things our way. Try to take a shortcut. But as I've already said, shortcuts do not work in this Christian race. See, we're in a race. People don't realize that. And I will never, as a child of God, achieve victory in this Christian race by trying to take shortcuts. It won't work. I will never, ever, ever win. Because shortcuts will take me off of the path. And how many of you know that when I'm off the path, there's nothing that can connect me back to the path but Jesus? I must repent and turn from my wicked ways. And the blood of Jesus washes away all sin. Are you all still with me? Shortcuts don't work. Never victory. Don't you know that the shortest way to victory, let me tell you what it is. The shortest way to victory is to get back on the right path. And getting back on the right path starts with me getting my heart right. I told you earlier, the heart is powerful. Why? Because I can receive salvation by believing with it. Now tell me how powerful it is. So I have to get my heart right. I have to have a heart to get to know God, to get back to Jesus. Notice I didn't say I have to get my mind right. Because if my heart is right, my mind is automatically is going to get in line. And when I'm talking about my heart, Christians, I'm not talking about this thing that pumps blood. I'm talking about the spirit. That's why the Bible says be led by the spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. And then it says, be not conformed to the what? World, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove. See, so the Bible tells me to present my body. The Bible tells me to renew my mind. But the Bible never tells me in that series of scripture to do anything with my spirit. Because you are a spirit and the word is talking to you. See, but the Bible tells me to be led by the spirit. Because if I'm led by the spirit, my mind and my body cannot do anything but follow. Are y'all still with me? Well, Pastor, why you go back to the mind and be led by the body? Because, once again, the Bible says confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It never said believe in your mind. Because if in a person's mind, if they want to get back to Christ, they may get back one day and then they're gone again. But it has to be from the heart. Because once it's in the heart, then we can stay on the right path. But the mind plays tricks on you. The mind is the battleground for Satan. The mind will tell you, oh, it's not all that. That old bald head guy, you don't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to him. God still love you. He's not going to send you to hell. True, he won't. But I mean, no, we can send ourselves. First class. Yeah, give me the first class ticket. I'll go. No. We must follow Jesus. Can't do it unless I get my heart right. Proverbs 4. We're already in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 4. My heart plays a very important part. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I have to get my heart right. I have to do it. God has already done what he's going to do. Jesus has already done what he's going to do. That's why he's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. He's done it all. He paid it all. I mean, what else do you want him to do? We have to do something. You know, people always say, well, I'm just waiting on. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, he's waiting on us. Listen to this. I'm going to use Pastor Janice as an example. Yeah. So God, you know, she's told everyone, God laid on her heart to start a women's conference. Now I'm going to show you the magnitude of doing what God says. Now, how many of us have even thought about, wow, if Pastor Janice had not obeyed the word of God, all these women that got delivered, they may not be delivered yet. See, that's the importance of doing what God says. Because when God says, so tell us to do something, it's not just for us. It's so other people can be blessed. And listen, when they get blessed, he get the glory in it. And that's what it's all. That's why we got to get self out of the way. She could have said, oh, I ain't doing that. But she answered the call. And a lot of us need to answer the call and do what God is telling us to do. But many of us are too busy to focus on self. Are you all still with me? Are you in Proverbs chapter 4? Amen. I'm not there yet. Is that all right? Look at Proverbs 4. Look at verse number 20. We saw this last week. King Solomon, he was a wise man, wasn't he? At least for a while. A way of a man may seem right, but the end is death. We just saw that. See, he started messing with all them little strange girls. He started off on the right path. Like many Christians do. They start all right. But then they make a right turn. Well, no, I'm sorry. They make a left turn. In other words, they go to the left. What y'all laughing at? Amen. My son, attend to my words. Incline their ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of word and what? Heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, keep thy heart with all what? Diligence, for out of it are the issues of what? Life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. How am I able to do that, God? The way I am able to do that is to guard my heart with all diligence. In other words, I need to be led by the Spirit. That's the Christian way, to be led by the Spirit. Because when we are led by the Spirit, we should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he says, let thine eyes, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look where? Straight before thee. Not to the left, to the right, but straight. If I want to stay on the path of righteousness, I can't be off the road. Ponder the what? Do y'all see that? Ponder the what? The path? What the path got to do with it? Everything. Ponder the path of thy what? There's a feet. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from where? Evil. We looked at, last week we looked at Joshua. When he replaced Moses. After God fired Moses. Yeah, he fired him. Because he never fired Moses. I never saw it in the Bible. Study. That's why you have to study. I tell you, you got to study. Moses, you're not going. You messed up. You didn't do what I told you to do. So you're not going. Matter of fact, listen. That young leader that's been learning from you, he's going to lead the people. God said, listen, I'm paraphrasing. Look, God said, that's my plan all along. He said, I got more than one leader. So when one don't want to act right, I just move you out the way and just raise the other. That's the kind of God we serve. See, God's will be done whether we do it or whether he can use us or not. Yes. How is that? Because he is God and he is God all by himself. That's why we need to get our self out of the way because we can't compare to God. Are you all still with me? We can't stop nothing but our own blessings. Are y'all still with me? He says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. If I do not do it, guess what? It will not be done. It's like people say, you know, they pray for faith. Look, I don't know why people pray for faith. Father, I pray, God, that I have more faith. No. You're wasting your words. I'm talking about what the word says. You know, the disciples told Jesus in the book of Luke, I believe it is, he said, Jesus, increase our faith. Jesus, you know, it's in the Gospels. Go study. Okay? That's more homework you got. Jesus, increase our faith. Listen, Jesus didn't even entertain the question. He said some things to them, and I'm going to paraphrase this, he came back and he said, after he had, go study the scripture. After he had said what he said, he came back with them and said, you know, something like this, you can go study. Why should I do something that is your duty to do? Just go study it. Says, well, you can't just read the Bible, you have to study it and meditate on it. And the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Bible says he's our teacher. But see, we just read, he's a teacher. Listen, let him teach us. A lot of Christians can quote scriptures. That doesn't mean anything. We need to know what we're quoting and apply it to our life. That's why a lot of Christians have spiritual knots all over their head from Satan because they just were, the Lord said, our faith come back. You just stop quoting and apply it to your life. Don't you know that the Bible is the roadmap to Jesus? And if I want to follow Jesus, I just have to follow the word. I told you the written word, the spoken word, and the word made flesh. Y'all still with me? I haven't forgotten when I said. You don't pray for faith. Because the Bible never tells us to pray for faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if I want to increase my faith, I need to hear the word. Now, if you can show me in the Bible, where it says, pray for faith and you will receive it. Don't waste your time. People are waiting for something all the time. Sometimes we have to do things ourselves. Faith don't come by praying for it. It comes by hearing. That's why people need to come back to church and hear the word. I don't care if people get upset when I say that because I'm just saying what the word says. I'm just saying it a little more dramatically. The Bible says, not to forsake the assembling. I'm saying, come to church. Are y'all still with me this morning? Y'all still love me? Amen. You know, people talk a good game. Like the man in the Bible here in Matthew. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is number one in my life. There's no other. I look to the hills which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord never sleeps nor slumber. I mean, just pure scriptures. And then when it's time to make sacrifices, not me. I can't do it. But they talk a good game. You know, I have 4 minutes and 53 seconds left. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 19. I mean, the people who get off of the path, they do not want to make the required sacrifices that we need to make. They don't want to spend time reading. They don't want to spend time studying. They do not want to spend time meditating. They don't want to spend time praying according to the word. They don't want to spend time hearing the word. They don't have time for that. Because once again, instead of being about him, it's always about I. And they don't make sacrifices. And that leads them to, well, I don't want to make sacrifices. I'm just going to take a shortcut. There are no shortcuts in the Christian life. It's a long race. And the Bible tells us that the race is not given to the swift. That means that we have to be patient until Jesus comes back. Are y'all still with me? So in Matthew 19, I mean, Jesus Christ is just being Jesus. And here comes this man here. I want you to look at verse number 16. I mean, this guy, you know, Jesus is preaching, doing Jesus things. Everybody's sitting around, you know. There's always one or two in the crowd that think they just know more than everybody else. Are y'all still with me? So this guy, this man, he's around. The Bible says in verse 16, and behold, one came and said to him, good master. You know, when somebody wants something, they always try to lift you up. Oh, what's going on? How you doing? Told him, my brother, what you want? I mean, when people want something from you, they approach you differently. When they don't want anything, they're just passionate about, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Or they want something. Brother Holly, hey, bro, what's made it so good that I say, what you want? So listen, the man walks to Jesus here. He said, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus said in verse 17, I'm going to paraphrase it. Man, look, I know. Don't try to get on me. I know what you're trying to do. In other words, don't be trying to lift me up. You want something. I know y'all don't see that, but I see it with my spiritual eyes. Jesus said, why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep his commandments. Don't you know Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves? I mean, I like this little thing here because, I mean, this dude just think he had it going on. Pastor, why do you say that? Let me share with you. Look at what he said. He said to Jesus, which one? Do he know who he's talking to? Which one, Jesus? I mean, apparently, let me say it this way. He must have studied the law a little bit. And so because he studied the old, you know, the law, you know, Old Testament, the law, and he saw in there the Ten Commandments. He had to. See, sometimes that's why you have to study. You just can't really have to study because the Holy Spirit will show you some other things. Listen, so he knew the Ten Commandments, obviously, because he asked Jesus, which one? Do he know who he's talking to? He said, which one? Look at what Jesus said. He said, thou shalt not do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's Christian. You have to see what Jesus is doing here. I mean, don't you know sometimes God has to come down to our level? You know, who was it? Peter said, how many times should we forgive? How many?
Seven times? Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Just being facetious with it. Peter, you asked me a, I'm paraphrasing. Can I paraphrase y'all? Is that all right? Is that all right? This Pastor Ron talking. Is that Peter asked me the question? Peter, you asked me a dumb question. I'm giving you a dumb answer. But some people take that as, I got to forgive you 70 times. That's why you need to study the word. That's why we need to grow spiritually. No, Jesus was talking about 70 times. There are not a number of how many times we should forgive people. What if God forgave us 20 times and that was it? We all be messed up. I know I would. Amen? So in this situation, I'm almost done. In this situation, Jesus said, okay. He started naming them. Because he knew that this guy, he must have studied a little bit. So he said, okay, thou should not do murder. Thou should not commit adultery. Thou should not steal. Thou should not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou should love thy neighbor as thyself. Look what the young man said. The young man said to him, oh, all those things, I kept them since I was a little boy. Are y'all still with me? But how many know God had a plan? Jesus knew what the guy was going to say before he even said it. Because he knew everything. Look what Jesus said. The little boy said, I kept, the young man said, I kept these things from my youth up. So what am I missing, Jesus? Jesus said, okay, if thou will be perfect, complete, go and sell that thou have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then you can come and follow me. Now, Christians, I'm going to share with you on this, and I'm getting ready to close. Jesus didn't want the guy to go sell everything yet. But Jesus knew where the boy's heart was. He knew he was not willing to make sacrifice. It's like some of us. He knew the self was in the way. And look what the Bible says. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I'm closing with this, and I'm going to clear something up while I'm closing. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall not hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Go ahead and stand to your feet. People think that because a man is rich, he can't go to heaven. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In other words, we have to surrender all. We have to surrender all. And listen, when Jesus was talking about the eye of a needle, he was not talking about like a needle and a thread. Some people think needle talking about, well, the needle, that's not the kind of needle he's talking about. See? So that's why sometimes we have to study some history. You know, over in the Middle East, they used to have these little, I'll say like a cave. You can relate to a cave. And there was a little small opening in the cave to get through. And you know how tall a camel is, you know, to get through that hole, you know, that little door, it's like a little opening. The camel would have to, you know, get down real low to get in there. And it was not as easy for him as it is for us to come through that door out there. So Jesus is saying here, it's easier for a camel to get through that hole than for a rich man to get to the kingdom of God. Now, he wasn't talking about just because he was rich. He's referring to this little boy here because he thought he knew everything. He thought his way was the right way. And he wanted to follow Jesus, but he did not want to make any sacrifices. And he went away sorrowful. In other words, he ended up on the path of darkness. Why? Because he didn't want to follow the light. And there are many Christians today who are in the same situation as that young man. We start off on the right path, but we veer off. I was going to talk about King Asa today. King of Judah, Southern Kingdom. He started off on the right path. He was serving God. He faced an obstacle because the king of Israel was getting ready to attack him. And instead of going to God like he normally do, making God first in his life, he went to the king of Syria to help him out. And the Bible says he took money from the church to pay the king of Syria. And when the seer came to him, the seer said, listen, you've depended on God all your life. When you face all these battles or obstacles or situations, I'm paraphrasing, you always depended on God. And he always delivered you. And now all of a sudden you want to go to some man. The Bible says King Asa got mad with the guy and put the man in jail. And then the Bible says he got ill, something with his feet. And instead of going to God, in other words, during that time, by that time he had got off the wrong path. He started off good. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 15, and 16, if you want to read it. He got off the wrong path. He got sick. Instead of going to God, he went to the physician first. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. But go to God first. You might not have to go to the physician. And then the Bible says later on he died. It talks about King Asa before and after. That's what happened to a lot of Christians. Christians, it's time to get back on board. It's time to stop giving God just enough. It's time to follow Jesus. It's time to make sacrifices. It's time to get self out of the way. If Jesus is first, make him first. It's time for Christians to come back together on one accord. Streaming online, I love you. But wherever your church is, go there. Just go there. Go there. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We have to get things right. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy.